You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
I had a chuckle up myself after that last break, forgetting what the element was coming up for this break, because we had so much in our program today. We're going to be talking in just a minute about the question, is your ISP giving you the bandwidth that they advertise? I just want to remind you that our second hour of the program is dedicated to taking your calls at 800-859-0957. And to thank Cindy Cooper and Mike Parsons for being behind the class. Thank you so much for helping us there. Matt Wood is a policy director at freepress.net, and he is our guest right now on the Internet Advisor. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, the question that we have put up on our homepage and is, of course, designed to be inflammatory is your ISP cheating you? And this is kind of based of an article that Gary saw earlier this week from freepress.net about an FCC study on this. What was the FCC's answer to that question?
Well, cheating might be a strong word, but they're definitely selling you, or at least promising more than they're delivering a lot of the time when it comes to the download speeds and even the upload speeds that you're getting from your ISP. The FCC studied this with 13 ISPs around the country. We're only talking about wireline services here, so only DSL, fiber to the home, cable, not your wireless connection, but your wireline side connections.
Okay.
And unfortunately, what they found is that sometimes, yes, they are selling you more than they're actually delivering. It depends on the ISP, and it depends on the technology.
And Matt, we know that from time to time that when the last mile to the Internet, your neighbors are all using it, and it could be slow from time to time. But this was a study that they did over a lot of different connections over a length of time, and they indicated that there's some, like Comcast, Cox, maybe Verizon, largely performed pretty well. Cablevision, AT&T, Mediacom, Frontier, and others didn't live up to what they promised. So they're not saying one is faster than the other, but they're saying whatever they promise you, they didn't often hit that, or they did often hit that, depending on which group they fell into. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, the issue here is not which one is the absolute fastest, but which one is delivering you what they promise they're going to sell you.
Which one delivers the goods.
Yeah. And right, and that matters because they're obviously going to charge you more for a higher speed tier. So if a company is promising you a certain amount and only delivering something closer to the speed tier below that, then why should you pay the extra $5, $15, $25, whatever it might be?
Right.
And again, you know, again, the answer here depends upon which ISP you have. I assume for a lot of people in your listening area, at least over the air, and if not online, it's going to be AT&T and Comcast, and this study showed that Comcast did pretty well and was right around 100% of their promised speeds on most of their speed tiers, but AT&T is closer to the 80 to 85% range, which people really should take into account when they're choosing between the two types of technologies or choosing between those two companies.
I want to talk to you in a moment about the merger of AT&T and T-Mobile, because that's part of what I'm concerned about. Cal, you had a question.
Yeah, Matt, here's the question I have for you. Of all the different combinations of types of technologies I can get from an ISP, which of the study, which combination or what technology was the best? Was it DSL? Was it cable? Was it fiberglass? Which one was the best one?
Fiber just blows them all away. Glass blowing, bad joke there, but it really does a good job. Unfortunately, that's really not available for a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of smaller ISPs around the country providing fiber, especially in very small, you know, apartment units or smaller kind of residential developments where you might be able to get fiber. But if you're looking just in a standard residential offering, fiber really here means nothing but Verizon Fios service. And that's really only available in certain select cities, mostly along the East Coast, some on the West Coast, a few places in between. Verizon's Fios service delivered at about 114% of advertised speed. So if they're selling you a 10 megabits per second connection, you're actually getting something more like 11. Cable is the next best. Cable for the download speeds that they measured, on average, got around 93% of the download speed that was promised, and DSL is in the 80s. So, you know, it's definitely fiber first, cable second, DSL about 82% on average. And again, that's the average for all providers using those technologies. Comcast and Cox were much better than cable companies like Cablevision, which serves New York City primarily. And AT&T is, you know, pretty much middle of the pack with the DSL technologies, but all those DSL-based technologies from the phone companies trail behind the cable companies' offerings on average.
And this is really based on you know, their network design and the equipment they have at either end really controls a lot of times whether they're able to actually get what they're promising people. Is that right?
Right. I mean, the technology here, they're both sensitive to different things. Cable tends to be more sensitive to number of users who are on your local node, basically people in your neighborhood and next door who are using the service at the same time that you are. And what this test did to account for that is it really focused on peak time usage when most people get home from work and get onto their computers. So these speeds that we're talking about here are not that different from the 24 average hour speeds, but what they were really focused on were peak time speeds between 7 and 11 p.m. on Monday through Friday, kind of the prime time hours for people to be using their online connection. That's what they measured. Cable, as I said, is more sensitive to the number of people on the network nearby you. DSL tends to be more sensitive to how far away you are from the phone company's central office, as it's called, the place where they're delivering the signal down to you, down to the end user at their home.
Now, Matt, there are some sites out there that people can use to find out exactly how fast they're getting their signals, aren't they?
Yeah, this was a more scientific test, and what they did was they actually asked for volunteers. They got 9,000 people eventually. They filtered out some of those results, kind of like ice skating judges. You know, they threw out the highs and the lows.
Mm-hmm.
And this test is really based on the results from 6,800 users around the country. So it's a very comprehensive test, and yet it's not telling you what, you know, you are getting in Detroit or what another person is getting in Seattle. It's sort of a nationwide test. There are a bunch of different websites out there where you can go and test your own speed without having to volunteer for the FCC. And getting this kind of box from them. One that we actually work a lot with are some people here in Washington, D.C., where I am, at an organization called the Open Technology Initiative. They have a site called MLab where you can go and test your speed. And there are many others as well of varying degrees of accuracy.
And that's really the key, is varying degrees of accuracy, because they can't really tell for sure depending on the number of hops that it happens to go through to really ping the system.
So you said MLab, was that?
MLab, yeah, which stands for Measurement Lab, and you can probably just get them through any search engine, MLab, M-lab. The reason I like them better than some other websites is they actually do look at each link, so exactly what you were just talking about comes into play, the number of hops.
Very interesting.
What kind of router you're using, how fast your processor is, but this MLab site tries to break that down and look at each of those segments so it's not giving you a false result.
Yeah, that's
great. Matt, we're short on time. Just tell me about FreePress.net, your organization, because I know you handle a lot of stuff.
Yeah, not the Free Press. They're in Detroit, but Free Press is a nationwide nonpartisan nonprofit that works on media reform issues and advocates for pro-consumer internet policies. So we work on a lot of things like that AT&T T-Mobile merger that you mentioned, which of course will have a big effect on people and on how much their wireless connection costs and just how much their service maybe goes up in price or goes down depending on what happens with this merger.
It sounds like one of the things you folks do is to kind of hold these big telecoms' feet to the fire and to get the real goods on what's going on and not the PR that's being peddled necessarily through their ads.
That's certainly what we hope to do. I mean, you know, we are a relatively large nonprofit. We have 500,000 members nationwide on our email lists and activists who take actions and do exactly that, try to hold these companies accountable. But, of course, we're constantly outnumbered by them, and they have a lot more resources to throw into that PR effort than we have sometimes to combat that. But that's definitely what we try to do, and we work a lot at the FCC and in front of other government agencies too.
Just quickly, folks, you go to internetadvisor.net. You can click off of our show notes and go to freepress.net and also to the specific article about is your IP cheating you. Just quickly, Matt, give me your folks' thought on the AT&T T-Mobile's merger that's on the plate right now. I got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, without being too hyperbolic, we think it's a disaster for consumer choice, for prices, for jobs. Also, the company has promised to invest a lot if they get this merger through. They're not telling you is if you take T-Mobile's investments off the table, this is actually going to lead to a decrease in investment in the wireless industry in the United States. And a lot of the promises they're making about rural deployment are things that they're going to do anyway. So we just think it's a bad deal for consumers because they're likely to see their prices go up, their choices go down, and give even more control to one of the already most consolidated industries in the U.S.
Oh, yep. Matt, thank you so much for being with Matt Wood, who's from freepress.net. Go to internetadvisor.net to find out more about that. Matt, thanks so much for being with us. Folks, stay tuned because coming up after the break, we will be here to talk with you and help you solve your computer problems. Just give us a call at 800-859-0957.
You've been listening to a podcast of the first hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find a link to the second hour on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.